right. Ben, I know you always talk about that music, but I kind of like the music. I'm happy to come up just like that. That's wonderful. It was good, right? Happy day. Well, hey, good morning, Bluffton community. Sorry while I'm kind of getting all set up here. Happy Memorial Day weekend. Thanks for coming. Hey, Jeremy. It's good to see you, man. Look, this weekend can mean a lot of things for a lot of different people, right? Like for some people, this is like typically the unofficial start to summer, even though it hasn't really felt like that lately. That I promise, I looked ahead, like in a week, the weather's going to be great and we're going to feel wonderful about that. We get the opportunity this weekend to also like honor those that have gone before us and like have provided us a free country, right? Those that have died, the servicemen and women that have died in service of our country. And you know, as you consider that, like we're actually, in a way, honoring that right now this morning because we get to come to church and freely worship the Lord, and that's provided to us by those that have gone forth and sacrificed before us. So we thank them for that. We thank if anybody in here is an active service member or has been a service member, we thank you so much, and you're in our thoughts and prayers as we go through this weekend. This weekend could also be full of like graduation parties. Anybody got a graduation party that they're doing? Yeah. We got graduation parties all over. We got celebrations. There might be cookouts. All other sorts of shenanigans could be going on. I know I have friends and family that are here in town today celebrating my senior. She's right now back in Kidstown serving right now. But, you know, you guys give me a microphone, I'm going to shout out Callie Cotter because I love that kid. And, you know, she's doing real well. And truthfully, we're proud of all of our seniors. We get to celebrate them a little bit later on today. And man, I'll tell you, as we consider celebrating our seniors today, I just want to mention that we had like the baccalaureate ceremony the other day, and it's incredible to see just how serious high school students in this area take their faith. Like these students have like come, that baccalaureate ceremony, we actually had one of the students take the stage, and as they were offering encouragement, they took the time to like, I've used that gospel acronym before, the G-O-S-P-E-L, that like God created us to be with him and that our sins separate us from God. We're going to talk a lot about that today, that sins cannot be repaid by good deeds and paying the price for sin. Jesus died and rose again. That everyone who says yes to Jesus' leadership in their lives can have life eternal that starts now and lasts forever. She got up there and she shared the gospel to the entire room and just kind of walked through some of the verses. It was good. And then like a musical worship team got up in there, and man, it was great because in that moment, while they were very good, like they did a great job, you could hear their guitars, you could hear them get going. As it got going, the room was overwhelmed by the students and the adults that came to celebrate. Like, you couldn't even barely hear what was coming off the stage and through the speakers because people were praising the Lord so much. And like in a school system situation, that seems unique. And so there's been some really cool opportunities and things going on in our community in the last few days. And obviously last night kind of culminating with graduation, where a student at the graduation ceremony goes up, first kid in, and goes, "Hey, let's pray." And praise to start off the service right there. And who knows, you know, there are people that are hearing that happen, and it's a joy. It's good. So as we go through that, I just want to throw a fair warning, and we've got high schoolers peppered in and maybe some over here. I have a friend that used to tell me that like life after high school, once you go into college or maybe military service and things like that, there you'll learn all new ways of sinning, like things that were off radar today and have been off radar for 18 years, they come on the radar when you leave your house, when you go to college, when you go into the workforce and some of the things you're going to do. So make sure that we keep that eternal perspective, that we have things right. We're going to talk about sin today for us to think about, but we want to make sure that as you leave these places, you stay on point and keep the most important things first. All right. If you guys have been here before, if you've never been here before, my name's Marty. Hi, it's nice to meet you. I'm so sorry. Ben's way better at this than me usually, but I like to be the guy that brings a bunch of energy. I like to come in, bring a bunch of hype, get a little bit excited, and have some fun. Today, I have a different sort of set of verses. We're like, we're in this Romans series, and if you want to like earmark it in your Bible, we'll be in Romans chapter 3, verses 9 through 20. I promise you we'll get there today. And man, these are hard verses. And as we go through this, I'll share some like hard things that we can recognize. And just remember, we talked about the gospel at the beginning. We're going to talk about the gospel. Don't get too drugged down by this thing. My hope is that we can like clearly define the problem that's going on here, that we can see how the Bible defines that problem, and that we can find out who all is impacted by that problem. We're going to drive all those messages home pretty clearly and then leave you with a bit of a cliffhanger for next week. Is that fair enough? We okay with that? Either way, you know, for the next 20 minutes or so, that's where we're going to be. So first thing we should do in all of this is we ought to pray. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful for you and trust you. And we know that you have something for us today, that why we've seen these things, like we see you in action in our community, that like the enemy doesn't sit idly by. He tries to rage against that. And so we pray that today, that the Holy Spirit, if there was anything I was going to say that I ought not say, that you would just speak through me. I pray that the Holy Spirit would be in the minds, in the hearts, in the ears of everybody in this congregation today, that whatever it is that you're trying to communicate to them, that even if I say it wrong, that they would be able to hear it and it would apply, and we could know what it is that you're trying to communicate with us. God, we trust you and we love you, and yeah, we're thankful for your word. We pray this in your name. Amen. Guilty. Amy, you're wearing a great Superman shirt. And you're guilty. Christy, you are guilty. I love you, but you're guilty. Ben, you're guilty. That's where we are. In the beginning, we were built a bit different, right? And I'm not talking like built different like Ben. Ben knew I was going to say something about him today, so he tried to preemptive me on it. But like not built different, like Ben's built different. You can see like he's been putting in the work, getting the gains. The arms are like, ugh, he's doing the thing. He's, you know what I thought of Ben this week? He's like the reverse of Samson, right? Like Ben shaved his head and just like swole up. That's what happened with Ben, right? But God, you know, creates everything. He makes Adam and Eve. He calls it very good. You guys know the story. They're in the garden. There's this like one rule or constraint, which is really for their good, of like, hey, don't go do this thing, right? And then they go do the thing. And when that happens, everything breaks, right? Later on in Romans, we won't get to that on this set of Romans, this series, but in Romans 5, Paul teaches us that how through one man, sin and death entered the world. And you can picture it like this, like, there's this term called federal headship, which is basically like Adam is driving the humanity bus. If you can picture all of humanity is a bus, he's driving the humanity bus, and he took it, and he drove that bus right off the cliff. Boom. And we're all on it, right? Ever since then, that sin has separated us from God and created this chasm that we can't fix on our own, right? Brings us to this tiny yet massive word, sin, that we're going to talk a lot about today. The first step in dealing with a problem, of course, is like recognizing that we have one. So we're going to slide through scripture a bit and just see what the scriptures have to say about sin. Shata, C-H-A-T-A. I'm probably saying it wrong in Hebrew. That's going to be like the most common word when using the word sin. It's translated as from shata, which literally means to just miss the mark, right? If perfection is here, however far you are from perfect, that is sin. I have a pastor friend who's great. He was a youth pastor at the time, big energy guy, had a lot of influence in my life. And he had this great idea. He was teaching on a Sunday about sin, and he wanted to show that literally, like the sin being off center. We have another friend who actually, and God is so kind. Like, that guy is going to attend our second service today. So he didn't know. He came all the way from Illinois, and he's getting called out later today. But his name's Lou. And Lou is like an expert marksman when it comes to bow hunting. He is very good. He can take stuff down from far, far away. And so the idea was is that in our church, Lou was going to be in the balcony of the church. So picture this with me. Balcony, all the people of the congregation, and then stage up in the front, right? Be sort of like, you know, where Matt is back there, but way higher up. And the idea is, Lou, go in the balcony. You're going to shapap and shoot it over everybody's head and hit the target on stage. So I'm like, awesome, let's go. And luckily, some people that were like much wiser than me and wiser than our youth pastor said, you know, maybe we don't want to shoot an arrow over the top of everybody's head. Seems like there's some variables there. And Dave Hammond, just to let you know, like, fair warning, I didn't ask Lou to come shoot an arrow. We're not going to do that today. Everything's going to be all right because Dave would come, like, spear him off the stage. And thanks for always protecting us and making sure that we're good to go, right? It was a good idea. Like, you can see it, right? Like, you can see the literal picture of target, you hit here, this is sin, that's the difference. That's actually where, like, the analogy kind of falls apart, though, because there's this picture of, like, well, maybe this is Robin Hood, and he could have the perfect shot. Like, when I shoot my arrow, I could have the perfect shot, and then I would be able to go, see, God, what I did? That's just it. This perfection, this perfect shot is so far out of reach, it's something that none of us could ever obtain on our own. We would just fall short every single time. There's no sniper-level archery. There's no hole-in-one shot in golf that matches the perfection that is demanded for us to be able to be back in relationship with the Lord. If you go to 1 John chapter 1 through 8, it should be on the screen here. It says, if we claim we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. So sin is a real thing that has implications for all of our lives. It's like Ben said last week, no one who is blind and receives sight would ever say, hey, give me back my blindness, right? We're all guilty. We all have fallen short, and we cannot solve our sin problem. We need Jesus, and we must say yes to his leadership in our lives. And then after we've said that, we would never like go, no, Jesus, give me my sin back, right? This is a thing where you can give it up, and then it's finished, right? And what a joy that is. But let's go a bit deeper. Psalms chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. It says, only fools say in their hearts, there is no God. They are corrupt. Their actions are evil. Not one of them does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on the entire human race. He looks to see if anyone is truly wise, if anyone seeks God. But no, all have turned away. All have come corrupt. All have become corrupt. No one does good, not a single one. We're guilty. In this psalm, David calls out the foolishness of denying God's existence and the complete lawlessness of the human race. No one does good, not a single one. Psalm 5:9 says, my enemies cannot speak a truthful word. Their deepest desire is to destroy others. Their talk is foul, like the stench from an open grave. Their tongues are filled with flattery. Reading the psalm over, if David and I were talking, it feels like this is the moment where, like, David could look at me and go, hey, Marty, how about this? Shut your mouth. That's a thing for me that sometimes I need to do that. Like, when I think about what words am I choosing? What are my motivations? How am I building people up or tearing people down? Do I honor God with my words? I'm guilty. Psalm 140. Verses 1 through 3. O Lord, rescue me from evil people. Protect me from those who are violent, those who plot evil in their hearts and stir up trouble all day long. Their tongues sting like a snake. The venom of a viper drips from their lips. Again, what is happening with my words? How often do I use them to tear people down, to gossip, to slander? In this verse, it even talks about going to violence. Guilty. Told you guys, this is the feel-good sermon, all right? We're going to get there. Psalm 10:7. Their mouths are full of cursing, lies, threats. Trouble and evil are on the tips of their tongues. Guilty. Isaiah 59, verses 7 and 8. Their feet run to do evil. They rush to commit murder. They think only about sinning. Misery and destruction always follow them. They don't know where to find peace or what it means to just be good, to be just and good. They have mapped out crooked roads, and no one who follows them knows a moment's peace. Consider this for a moment. Isaiah is calling out the sin and like the proclivity for us to chase after sin, to actually pursue sin, rushing to commit murder, thinking only on sinning and how this is like both personally relevant and culturally relevant. We on both sides of this. A picture of it would be that like misery and destruction end up being like the waves and the wake that are left behind from sin. That idea of like rushing towards sin, it breaks my heart. And yet I know so often it's true of me where I like have just failed and seen an opportunity that I've let slip by. So I'm guilty. One more psalm here, 36:1. Sin whispers to the wicked deep within their hearts. They have no fear of God at all. And I'm actually going to go a little bit past that for just a moment here, because it keeps driving home. It says, in their blind conceit, they cannot see how wicked they really are. Everything they say is crooked and deceitful. They refuse to act wisely or do good. They lie awake at night hatching sinful plots. Their actions are never good. David, again, hits at the heart of human wickedness and the lack of the fear of the Lord. Now, at this point in the message, you're going like, okay, we got it. We're the bad guys in the story. We could check in. Like, I actually have a question for you guys. I wasn't going to do this, but I do have a question. My grandpa and I used to watch old Westerns back in the day, right? And when we watched old Westerns, you'd see the guy that had like a white hat on. And the guy with the white hat, is he the good guy or the bad guy? He's the good guy. See, I knew you guys would know this. Maybe not this section right here. But the guy with the white hat is usually the good guy, which means that the person with the black hat is the bad guy, right? And see, I know you guys are so smart. You're all over it. That's what I remember. Like the bad guys wore the black hats. And if we're being honest today, at the end of the day, we're all wearing black hats in this one. There's one white hat. It's on Jesus. And we are the ones that come in wearing the black hats, right? We're the bad guys. Maybe you might be sitting here going, well, Ben has talked about Romans like 1 through, here we are in 3, and we're kind of, Marty said, we're doing Romans 3, 9 through 20. We haven't read any of that yet, and this is supposed to be a Romans series. So maybe we should do that. We'll pick up where Ben left off last week at verse 9, and we'll start right there. Well then, should we conclude that we Jews are better than others? No, not at all. For we have already shown that all people, whether Jews or Gentiles, are under the power of sin. As the scriptures say, no one is righteous, not even one. No one is truly wise. No one is seeking God. All have turned away. All have become useless. No one does good, not a single one. Their talk is foul, like the stench from an open grave. Their tongues are filled with lies. Snake venom drips from their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. They rush to commit murder. Destruction and misery always follows them. They don't know where to find peace. They have no fear of God at all. Obviously, the law applies to those to whom it was given, for its purpose is to keep people from having excuses and to show that the entire world is guilty before God. For no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows how sinful we are. Paul is an absolute surgeon with this scripture, right? Like these six pieces of scripture that we just went over, all those Psalms and Isaiah, everything that we were just covering there, he leverages those, he packs them into these verses so that both Jews and Gentiles can understand, that you and I can understand that there is no one who is righteous. We all have the black hats. We're all under the punishment of sin, and it affects every part of our lives. Sin corrupts your heart, your mouth, your mind, the will of the people. It corrupts and taints everything. Ben mentioned last week how Romans has been studied in law school and to show the example of like how to build a strong case. And if we walk through it under that mindset, these verses are so good, right? Because like we could feel some of that pressure and feel some of the, as we were going through those verses, what's going on here? It says in verse 9, Paul makes sure that the Jews and the Gentiles alike are tuning in for this. I enjoy these because it reminds we're all under sin. We all get the black hats. Our parents' faith, our moral superiority, our seemingly good works, they earn you nothing in reference to salvation. Salvation is a gift of grace through faith in Jesus. And sometimes we get confused by this, right? Like, I was born in America, so of course I'm a Christian. Or like, you know, maybe there's a student in the room today that's got a drug problem, right? Like their parents drug them to church today and said they had to go. But like, that doesn't save you. The fact that you sit in a building, that's not going to save you. Because remember, at the very beginning, Adam drove the humanity bus right off the cliff and we all rode down with it, right? We're all guilty. I won't smack the hammer, but that's where we are. As a side note, I just want to talk about God's grace for a moment because there's a couple of things that have like stuck out to me in the last few weeks as I was preparing for this. And one of them is this idea of common grace. We're not going to dive deep into that, but understand that whether you surrendered to Jesus' leadership, whether you said yes to Jesus yet or not, that like you live with the grace of God active in your life today. Like the very air you breathe is by the grace of God. Like if you're in this room right now and you're going, hey, look, I'm here because my mom said I had to come here, or I'm coming with a family member and we're just en route to the cookout, that's okay. But no, whether you believe in Jesus or not, whether you believe in the truth or not, the sun will probably rise tomorrow and you're experiencing God's grace that you get to see that sunrise and be involved with that sunrise and know that that's going to happen. There's grace while on this earth, but imagine if you've ever had the opportunity to enjoy any grace or any blessing that God's ever provided for you, if you've experienced that this side of life, imagine what the grace, like an eternal grace, how much blessing that would be and how much joy and opportunity there is for that when we have sin no longer separating us from him and we're back in perfect relationship. Also, if you just want to peek, like this is just another thing that kind of hit me on the side. Imagine if you want to know a look about Jesus and who Jesus is and how he acts. Think about like Jesus knew who the betrayer was. Jesus knew that Judas was the one that was going to do it. And yet, Jesus was so good to him. He was so aware of every sin, past, present, and future of you and me, that when it happened, when he said, go now, do what you can do, the other disciples didn't even know it was Judas. That's how good Jesus is. That's how much grace Jesus has for you and for me. Every human stands guilty before God. The last two verses today remind us that the Old Testament law, the 613 laws that Ben referenced last week, they were not meant to save us. Rather, they're meant to like expose sin in our lives. It's a deep and honest look in the mirror that you and I, we cannot jump high enough. We can't somehow perform in a way that could earn us God so great, what God just like so graciously desires to provide for us. For those of you that have struggled with the concept of legalism, my hope, and I'm just going to read those last two verses again here, because my hope is that these two verses are like, they set you free on this sort of thing. Obviously, the law applies to those to whom it was given, for its purpose is to keep people from having excuses and to show that the entire world is guilty before God. All have black hats. For no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows how sinful we are. Man, guys, like, it's a mirror reminding you. And I'm gonna divert for a minute. I'm just going to kind of go to the end here. Like, I'll tell you, studying these verses personally for me is hard. There are parts of this that were hard because I started seeing through this lens of like, man, I did this week, and that's what God's talking about. I did this week, and this is what Scripture is exposing in my life, all these things that I'm like, man, God has so much better for me. God has so much better for me. God has so much better for me. At work, we have this joke that we kind of call the Orkin salute, where sometimes you're just like, I don't know what you want me to do here. Like, I got it. And I got there, right? I got to, like, where it was a holy salute, where I'm like, God, I get it. I'm the bad guy. What am I supposed to do here? And then God goes, hey, Marty, exactly. You can't. I did it. It's for you, from me, right? We can't jump high enough. We can't perform well enough. And if you struggle with legalism and being like, I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to do that, and if I step the right way, if I dance it the right way, that won't clear the debt. The debt we owe is far too much. We have a problem here, people. But there is good news. The good news of the gospel, like we shared earlier. And spoiler alert for next week, but God doesn't sit idly by. He sends Jesus to remove the head off of the gavel. In spite of our unbelief, in spite of our self-leadership, in spite of our deceitful heart, our twisted mind, our awful words, and a desire for all of it, he steps in and he knocks the head off of this thing. God leans in and says, you're right. You can't. And it's okay because I have you and I'm going to help you. And I'm going to ask that you expose sin in my life and we're going to do the thing and we're going to figure it out. Ben, I was going to ask you to come up front and kind of wrap us up in prayer, and we'll put a lid and get the musical worship team ready to go.